The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Welcome to the Big Red Bench Ladies Football Podcast with me, your host, Ger McCarthy. You can follow me on Twitter at GerMcCarthy74. In this week's episode, we begin the build-up to Cork's TG Carr All-Ireland Senior Ladies Football Semi-Final with Galway. Moore Abbey duo Dyran O'Sullivan and Maura O'Callaghan tell us about their year with Cork, how preparations have gone ahead of the Galway clash, and the resumption of the Munster Club Championship in the new year. Beara, West Cork and Cork inter-county forward Áine Terry O'Sullivan joins us to look ahead to our upcoming All-Ireland semi-final and reminisces on a successful senior club county winning season. We also have a special interview with Clare inter-county captain Ellie O'Gorman in the build-up to the Banners All-Ireland intermediate semi-final against Meath this coming weekend. Finally, we hear from Cork County Intermediate Club Champions Clonakilty's Alana Crowley on her club and family's fundraising efforts on behalf of Marymount Hospice. That's all to come on this week's Big Red Bench Ladies Football Podcast. This year's TG Carr All-Ireland Ladies Football Championship semi-final sees defending champions Dublin taking on Armagh and Cork coming face-to-face with old rivals Galway. Two players likely to have a major impact on the outcome of Cork's encounter are Moore Abbey's Maura O'Callaghan and inter-county captain Dyran O'Sullivan. I caught up with the multi-county, provincial and All-Ireland club-winning players to talk about their hopes ahead of the Galway clash, what it's like playing for Shane Ronan and what the future holds for Moore Abbey in next year's Munster Club Championship.
Okay, delighted and thrilled to be joined by two of Moore Abbey's finest players, Dyran O'Sullivan and Maura O'Callaghan, have joined us here on the podcast ahead of the big All-Ireland semi-final with Galway. Ladies, thank you very, very much for taking the time out to speak to us.
Thanks for having us.
I didn't realise the two of you were living in the, living together at the moment, so this is a bonus. I was figuring there'd be two people to ring, but I only had to ring one, so that's great. First, a good start. Dyran, if I could just start with you. We're not far off that All-Ireland semi-final. You've been here before as a squad, and I know it's nothing new. But considering the kind of year we've had and that you've had as inter-county players, it must be extra special to have an All-Ireland semi-final to look forward to, especially so late in the year.
Yeah, definitely. I think all things considered, a couple of months ago, it wasn't looking likely that we would be here playing. So I suppose everyone's really grateful and thankful to be getting to go out to train three nights a week, meet the girls, catch up. I suppose the bonus then, we're representing our county at the highest level. So looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final now in 2 weeks' time. And we do understand and know how lucky we are. There's a lot of people who aren't in the position or don't have the privilege that we have of getting to play for our county. So I think, yeah, all things considered with COVID, like club championship was postponed and there's a lot outside of football being postponed. So we're really, really grateful to be in this position.
As well as that, Dyran, not only are we getting to play it, but the people that can't get to these matches are having an opportunity to watch them on live stream or on television. There seems to have been a little bit more media attention, a lot more media attention this year, and the Ladies Football Association decided to stream every match. A lot of new eyeballs are turning their, you know, are watching ladies football finally and getting to see what I've been lucky enough to see over the last number of years. It must be nice from your point of view, even though people can't come to the game, that you can talk to them about it afterwards and they can talk to you about it.
Yeah, I suppose it's just important to point out, we're on about the people like our parents and family and friends who can't go to the match, but I just think it's really important to flag the 8 girls who don't get to go to our games every week. It's extremely tough. I suppose they're training just as hard as us, putting in just the same amount of time and effort. So it is really disappointing for those girls that they can't be there with us and share, I suppose, the experience. But it is, as you said, super the coverage we're getting. I think there's a lot more people watching it. Thanks to the 2020 campaign, we're getting a lot more media coverage. I go into work on a Monday after the match now and people are chatting about it. There's a good buzz about it. You'd have been lucky a couple of years ago if people knew you had a game at the weekend. So definitely appreciation and love of ladies football is definitely growing and it's going in the right direction. And that's thanks to the media coverage we're getting.
Good stuff. Same for you, Maura. Are you getting the same kind of reaction that more and more people are talking to you about the games, that they're having the chance to see them now?
Yeah, definitely. Like the same as Dyran said there, I'd be coming into work and there'd be people talking about it and saying X, Y, and Z they saw it on one of the various outlets that there is for it, even like Twitter, Facebook, or even tweets if they didn't manage to catch the live coverage. So it is really good, the buzz that's been created about it.
You've had two tough tests up to now. I mean, that Kerry game was a really tight and tough match down in Tralee, and then in Offaly the last day. You pulled away from Cavan, but they made life difficult for you. The fact that you had no challenge game coming into it, it's something that Efi has mentioned and Paddy O'Shea has mentioned to me in previous interviews. It must be very difficult when you don't have those challenge games. You know, normally you'd have a good run of them as well as a league campaign before you'd hit the championship. Have you found that difficult this year?
Yeah, I suppose from league games and challenge games, they give you a good idea of where you're at and of your best 15. I just think we were a small bit unsure of where we stood in terms of strength and conditioning, our game plan. I suppose there was a lot of anxiety going into the Kerry game and the Cavan game. We didn't really know where we stood. With that, though, it did bring a lot of excitement. I suppose there wasn't much video analysis done of teams because we hadn't been playing. So it definitely brought something new this year and a lot of freshness. So I actually kind of enjoyed the build-up to the two games. I just thought it was something new and exciting. And the quick turnaround between games, I suppose you get to build momentum. Having won the Kerry game, we had a quick turnaround between that and the Cavan game. And the same now, a two-week build-up to the Galway game is nice. We're building momentum nicely.
Maura, can I just ask you about the intensity of the A versus B games in the Cork training sessions? I've seen one, maybe two, lucky enough to be loaded in by Efi for a few minutes. It is intense, to put it mildly, but then you look at the Dublins, you look at the Galways, and I spoke to Galways manager Tim Rabbit about this as well. They're the exact same. People are looking for that jersey and they're putting it in those matches. Has that been the experience this year as well?
Definitely, yeah, 100%. The AVBs are absolutely like a savage amount of exercise they're going out there. They're really intense. And like, there's definitely like some hard hits. Like, you'd forget that we all played together anyway when you're, I suppose you saw yourself and you're watching them, but like, that's the way it has to be. Like, they've been absolutely fantastic preparation, and I suppose with the lack of challenge games as well, like, that's where the competition has been like driving us all on, and that we're all like really going for the position, as you said yourself, and even the jersey. And I know Darren alluded to the fact that there's 8 people not even getting a chance to travel. So like, everything is up for grabs there, you know, even just a position on the panel. So they're a fantastic competition to have.
From your own point of view, Maura, the middle of the field is a very, very important area, more than ever for Cork ladies this year. How are you finding, you know, you're playing quite a lot alongside, you're quite close to Hannah Looney throughout a lot of those matches. You were a really tough opener against Kerry and then Cavan as well, a heavy pitch against Cavan, which meant it really an energy sapping day for you. How are you finding all that this year?
Yeah, it's definitely, I suppose, I know we talked about already about the lack of the league and the challenge games and the championship matches. So it has been tough, I suppose, to get you up to the pace and how difficult, you know, I suppose the AVBs are really good, but also the kind of nerves that you'd have on championship day. So that can nearly take some energy itself as well. So it has, we had, I suppose, a difficult enough day against Kerry. You know, they had really strong players in the middle of the field, but Hannah's a super player anyway to play with. She's so athletic and she's really good offensively and defensively, so she's well able to pick up the slack at either end if I need her to.
As are you. Are you enjoying it this year in that position? Because it, I would imagine, Maura, that's your preferred position. You get to make the most influence on a game there.
Yeah, I do. I do enjoy playing midfield, all right, I suppose. I've been playing there for a good couple of years now, so I'd nearly probably be like a fish out of water if I was anywhere else. So yeah, I like playing in the middle of the field, all right.
And similarly, Darren, I know how much you like setting up scores, as you told me the last day in the Cavan match, but you're responsible for quite a few of them for club and county as well. Does the match fitness for an inter-county player, it takes a match or two, I would imagine, at the beginning of the year, you know, to get up to speed for a full 60 minutes, even though you end up playing more nearly 70 minutes nowadays. Are you that bit sharper now? Do you feel going into the Galway game, thanks to the Cavan match and the Kerry match that preceded it?
Yeah, definitely. The AVBs are unbelievable, but they're not the same as championship pace, I suppose. There's a bit of familiarity within the AVBs. So I think we're a small bit comfortable with each other. We know what to expect. Whereas with a championship match, first touch can be a small bit off. Nerves can put a shot, skew a shot.
So yeah, I definitely think the last couple of matches will stand to us going into the Galway game.
Yeah, because you just mentioned it there, and I've said it to Orla Finn as well, like, you're normally, Moran Abbey would be used to playing club championship, perhaps around this time of year, but a lot of players aren't on that Cork team, and the conditions when you're taking frees are, as you said, as a forward, when you're even taking a shot, the height of summer are coming towards August, September, conditions are usually okay, but now it's cold, it's wet, and it's very, very windy, so it's making it extra hard for you, yeah?
Definitely, I suppose, you're looking, you mentioned Orla Finn there, she's wing forward this year, she's covering 10 plus K in every match, so heavy pitch as well. By the time she comes to the forwards, I'd say her legs are tired. Like, so yeah, we do have to work the ball that in that bit closer and be a bit wiser, I think, with our shot selection. It's not summer football, and there's no fancy shooting. I think it's just work the ball in as close as we can and hand pass it over or kick it from inside the D, really. You wouldn't be looking for anything outside it.
That's a nice reminder from the forwards to the rest of the panel that you're on 10K every match. I just thought a nice way to put that in there.
Oh, sorry. I'd like to point out that the inside forward line don't go next or near 10K.
You just do the 9 and let the rest of it go. Maura, Galway. I mean, we're talking now business end of the championship. We're talking a serious, seriously well-drilled, very battle-hardened team. I mean, I rewatched the second half of their game with Monaghan, and man, Monaghan put it up to them. Now, they've been through, just like yourselves, two very tough tests. Tipperary and the Tipperary manager, who you know well, came very close to beating them the first day out. But Monaghan scored 3 late goals and still didn't have enough, and they only had 14 players. So there's, not that you needed reminding, there's the hallmark of that Galway team. That's how good that Galway team are. This is, with respect to Kerry and with respect to Cavan, from those previous two matches, it's do or die now, it's knockout, and it's another step up for you.
Yeah, like, Galway are an absolutely super side, you know, there's no getting away from that. And while I suppose they had two tight games coming into it, they're building like ourselves, you know, they probably were encountering the same challenges with, you know, not having played games and stuff like that. So, like, they're super fast and they have really strong nearly in every position. So we'll be definitely very wary of them. But, you know, it's exciting, looking forward to the match as well. And I nearly wish that it was this weekend, not next weekend. But I suppose it's absolutely ideal that the Camogie girls, there's no clash facing them. So, of course, I'm happy it's next weekend.
That is very good news. But Darren, does that little bit of an extra gap, I mean, Maura just mentioned it there, like, you're kind of in the groove now after two matches, you would like it a bit closer, or is this just about the right amount of time if there's any injuries and things and niggly injuries to clear up?
Yeah, I don't know, are we ever happy? We avoided the Camogie clash and we're still giving out. No, I think we're happy. Look, we need our full panel to get over Galway. We're very familiar with Galway and have great rivalry with them. From underage, we would have played in a lot of All-Ireland semi-finals and finals against Galway, and we came out the wrong side of a lot of them. And then at club level, we'd have been fierce, familiar with Kilkerr and Clonburn, and then obviously last couple of years at senior level. So that rivalry has built a lot over the last couple of years, and we're really hoping to get over the line in 2 weeks' time.
One thing I wanted to ask you, actually, Moran Abbey, there's quite a number of Moran Abbey players on the panel this year. There is every year, but there's especially this year, there's Bree, there's Kira, and there's Ian Romini as well, just off the top of my head. Is that, how helpful is that when you're in a dressing room? I know you're in a dressing room and you're all wearing the Cork jerseys, but how helpful is it when you look around and you see the people that you play week in, week out with, you train with? Does it make it that just a little bit easier when you're out on the pitch, or has it ever been that kind of, has it been a positive at all? You just take it for granted that they're there with you. I would imagine when you have that amount of players from such a successful and driven club like yourselves, that it's, you know, you look around, especially the AVB game, or you look around the training session, and especially when you're out on the pitch against somebody like Galway, that the person next to you, you know that little bit more about them, that if they make a break, you might be able to get the ball to them, or am I way off the mark?
No, I wouldn't take much notice of it in the dressing room. We're very close with all the girls, but I do think on the field, it is a massive advantage. If I give away the ball or if I mess up, I know that Kira or Maura or Meany are going to work that extra bit harder to get it back, and vice versa. We hate, I suppose, seeing anyone do badly, but especially your club mate, you are, I think, working subconsciously probably that bit harder to try to get the ball back. And I think if anyone's under pressure, we're there to help each other, even, I suppose, just having a word with each other. I think that familiarity and knowing each other that well is definitely an advantage for us.
Is that a help, Mara, when you make a mistake, that you have at least five teammates about to shout at you?
It's definitely good, yeah, to have them on the team. And like as Darren said, yeah, you know that they're going to work extra hard for you. Like when she throws the ball wide, like I'll always give her a pat on the back and say, look, pass it to me next time. I need to put it over.
Their shots fired. Fair play. Just getting back at the forwards again, yeah. Can I just ask you both, because I know he'd be listening, he listens to the podcast, Shane Ronan, I can see the smile. The thing about Shane, I watched the Galway tip match at the start of the year and there was nobody in the ground, so I could hear Shane. And you hear Shane at any match anyway because he's just constantly kicking every ball, like any good manager driving you on. What is it about him, from your point of view? At inter-county level, he's doing a fantastic job with tip. That tip team is coming on leaps and bounds and they're coming up the side, as you well know. You played him enough times in the last few years to know that. But I know he's a motivator. I know he's very good at setting up a team. But what is it in those minutes before a match, Darren, especially like a final and all the finals that you've played down through the years? I mean, you don't win those over and over again without his input being really important and without it sinking in. But what is it about him? Because I know he can shout and I know he can roar like a lot of managers. But what is it about him in those last few minutes before a very, very important game that makes him stand out as a coach?
Yeah, it's gas. You're on about listening to him and hearing him, but I think we've come to a stage now where we've just tuned him out. We don't even, honestly, we don't even hear him. Someone asked me, I did an interview a couple of weeks ago, and someone asked me how we got over the line or what changed in Moornabbey in 2014 to win us our first county. And like it did, literally, it was Shane Ronan. There's no simpler way of saying it. It was Shane coming to Moornabbey that made us a successful club. I think all of us have huge respect for Shane and know the time he puts into it. He's coming over from Mitchellstown second evening, putting massive time into us. And I think we all realise that without him, we'd probably wouldn't be where we are today. So I think that respect, we want to do well for him. We want to make him happy and be proud of us, I suppose. So I think we all have a really good relationship with him, and we all realise how good he is. Some of his drills and his strength and conditioning, he ticks all the boxes, really. And he has the right people behind him as well. We got a sports psychologist with us. I think he worked a lot with Shane, one-on-one, with Shane more than the team, I think. But I suppose Shane, he's an excellent motivator, as you said, and we all want to do our best for him.
Same for you, Maura.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything Darren said there. And like, as you said, he ticks all the boxes. Like his attention to detail is absolutely unbelievable. And like, he could probably, like, he's just, say he's a manager for tip and he has other people taking care of the other aspects of it. But like, if he had enough time, he could probably look after everything himself because he's so strong in every area that you need him to be strong. And he's just, he is absolutely fantastic, to be fair to him now, I must say.
I'll have to have him on next week now to answer all these charges on the podcast. But just finally on that, before we finish up, I wanted to ask you as well, Maura, like we're focusing on Cork at the moment, obviously, and all your focus is on Cork, but Moornabbey have a Munster Championship to look forward to in the new year and a game against Kerr. I know once all you haven't given it much thought now, but how important was it, first of all, that you have a Munster Championship once everything was sorted out, thankfully and correctly, to get you into the Munster and deservedly into the Munster Championship? Now that you know that you're there, it's not something you might have thought about recently, but from the club's point of view, a target in the new year and something to hit the ground running with again is very, very important.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. It's like it's really going to be a nice start to 2021, you know, to get out there and get back playing. And like, hopefully we'll be allowed to start training soon enough for it. And, you know, like I'm missing the Moornabbey girls around. Like I am so grateful to have Cork, but it will be really nice as well when we'll be able to go back with Moornabbey and even to just have a date out there that like it is definitely going to go ahead and, you know, to have that date in the diary for the new year. So I'm really looking forward to that too.
Same for you, Darren. Whilst you're obviously focusing completely on Cork right now, and you won't think about Moorabbin until you've finished your championship campaign, whenever that is, it is nice again to know that it's not a worry now anymore. You know that you're playing, you have a date or a rough date, and that's something to focus on when the new year turns, like Maura said.
Yeah, I think we're very grateful to the LGFA for putting a date in the calendar. Obviously, it's uncertain times, so just to have something in writing is nice and something for us to focus on as a club. And I think we realise that our success at club level isn't going to last forever. So we want to play the 2020 Championship and try get more silverware. But yeah, so definitely looking forward to Munster Club Championship as well.
And just to finish up, obviously everyone is hoping for a win against Galway. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be it's probably going to be an extremely tough game, as you would expect. But am I assuming correctly, Darren, that, as Aoife always says, get the performance right and the result will look after itself from there?
Yeah, and there's certain boxes we're going to have to tick against Galway. And hopefully, if we do tick those boxes and everybody does their part, that we can get over the line. We're under no illusion, though. Galway are an excellent outfit. As I said already, we're extremely familiar with them. They've unbelievable pace, especially up the middle. Even if you look at their midfield, Louise Ward and Olivia Dively, their pace and I suppose how comfortable they are on the ball always gives Galway an outlet, and even their contribution to the scoreboard between the two of them themselves the last day against Monaghan was pretty impressive. So they've talent all over the field, and if we're not prepared properly physically and mentally, we won't come out of that game at the right side. So we've 2 weeks now and we're really looking forward to it. The camp is good and the mood of training is good. Intensity is really high. So as it stands, we're looking good. But as we've seen over the weekend with Tipperary men and Cavan men winning, anything can happen.
Indeed it can. And just finally, Maura, any additional pressure because the two men's teams are gone? There's going to be even more focus on both yourselves and the Camogie team now, or do you just get on with your job like you normally do?
I wouldn't be reading too much into that, really. It just would be, hopefully it means for us that, you know, it'll drive up that viewer and the people buying into the media and looking at it as much, a bit more. But I wouldn't really be buying into any additional pressures. I suppose we're just going to go out and do as well as we can, no matter if there's one person watching us, if there's 100 watching. So I wouldn't be too worried about the two men's teams being knocked out.
I can guarantee you there's going to be more than 100 people watching. Listen, on behalf of everybody at Cork Shred FM at the Big Red Bench, as ever, you have our complete support and all our listeners. We're fingers crossed. We hope to get over the line against Galway. We have an All-Ireland final to look forward to. We'll be deserving for this squad and for the effort that you put in this year, and also for the Moorabbin crew as well. We'll be keeping tabs on you in the new year and following you in the Munster Championship. To Darren O'Sullivan and Maura Callan, thank you very much for your time and for appearing on the Ladies Football Podcast.
Thank you.
What a year it's been for Allahy's native Áine Terry O'Sullivan. The Bearer footballer captained the West Cork division to a first ever Cork County senior club title and has since played an important role in Cork's All-Ireland Championship wins over Kerry and Cavan. Áine took time out to speak to the Big Red Bench ahead of her county's semi-final meeting with Galway.
I would say before we talk inter-county, winning a club senior football title and being captain was a fantastic honour and a lovely moment after a very long road with West Cork. You'll be hoping to add to that before the end of the year, but has that success made this year, considering everything that's going on, just all the better?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, going back to the start of the year, when no one was sure, I know everyone's saying it, but like, we thought we wouldn't be kicking football this year, so to get through the club championships as well was brilliant. You know, after the even watching the Cork Lads Club Championship to finish at the semi-final stage, it was very tough for the two teams that went through to the final. So after that, we were just very grateful that we were able to actually finish out the championship and obviously just to get the win. As you said, it was a long road for West Cork. It was our fifth year together now. It was my fourth year on the panel, and it meant a lot because a lot of the girls would have played. I think it was on the second year of it. Beer and Clonakilty joined. So from then on, we lost Kinsale, but from then on, the majority of the girls would have been kind of on the panel for the next couple of years. So it was very special, and obviously it was a great kind of reward as well for the management for sticking with us. Wasn't easy, especially after coming so close in 2018-2019, so it was just great to finish it off this year, and obviously being captain then as well was very special, just to be able to bring it back to Alahid here and to my club era. So it definitely put something positive on a very strained year in 2020.
How easy was it to transition from the club championship then just to concentrate solely on intercounty, and was it easier because you had two separate kind of calendars?
Yeah, you know, it was nice. Like, it was, you know, just to be, I suppose, from our perspective, we had Beira and West Cork. We were kind of knocked out with Beira early enough, all right, so we were able to focus on West Cork after. But having it separate, it was nice because, you know, there wasn't too much travelling involved. There wasn't, you know, you weren't being, oh, can I play with, say, if you had club games during the year when you were playing with Cork, you know, you'd have to step out of some training. So not to have that kind of affecting the Cork was great. And then obviously, once the county final was over, we had a meeting the Wednesday night, and it was full focus in ahead for, like, we were just looking ahead for the next couple of months. And, you know, we went back training then that following Friday night. And we had a few weeks with ladies football. The first weekend, we didn't have any games, so our first game was until like the 7th of November. So we had a good month and a bit to prepare, but obviously they pulled challenge matches, so we didn't have any kind of, we only played one challenge match against Dublin a few weeks ago, so that probably wasn't ideal. But you know, there's serious competition on the Cork panel at the moment, so we'd have a lot of games, like our games between ourselves, and they're very competitive. So yeah, you know, it was nice to have the kind of divide between Dublin and County. Obviously it's a strange time of year to be playing, like, well, a few of the girls that would be playing with club this time of year would be used to it now, but for the majority of us, well, especially with Cork, we wouldn't be used to playing this time of year. So it's kind of adapting to those kind of conditions now as well, you know, the kind of training, like on Wednesday and Friday there, you nearly feel like it's, when you're driving up to training, that it's, you should be coming home from training when it's so dark and kind of so cold and stuff. But it's grand, it keeps us busy anyway, and you know, we're enjoying it, and we've semi-final now to look forward to.
Yeah, you've been through the ringer in terms of weather conditions. I mean, you had down in Tralee that day, God Almighty, it was wet and it was windy. It was a good pitch. And then the last day, up in Birr, I mean, it was cold. It was, and a heavy pitch again. This is the kind of thing, though, that you were going to have to experience at this time of the year. But it's probably the same for Galway. It's the best preparation, because going into that Galway game, you don't know what weather conditions are going to be again.
Yeah, that's it. I think before the Kerry game, actually, we played a game the Sunday before, and the rain that day was something else. And I suppose, you know, it was no harm, because that's what we're going to be facing into for the next couple of weeks. You can see in all the matches that had been on over the last few weeks there, in with the hurling and the football, like the rain that's been, and the wind. So it's about adapting to it. I suppose, you know, at this time of the year, like, we just don't know what's the day going to be like. Like down in Kerry 2 weeks ago, the pitch was in great condition, and then to play above and burn out the last day, it was a lot tougher on the legs. So we just be prepared for that. I suppose it's on in Limerick, I think. So hopefully we'll just prepare right now over the next couple of weeks and go into it in good condition.
Galway are no strangers, and as are ye not to them. You're into the final four of the All-Ireland, and obviously a semi-final would be a tough match anyway, but considering what you've seen of them and what you've seen of them down through the years, this really is the toughest task of the year so far.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they're obviously a great team. They got to the All-Ireland final last year, and they have some very, very good footballers. So we know exactly what we'll be up against. We played them as well in the league final last year, and you know, it was a close game. So we were actually just before the league was called off, Galway was our next game. And you know, they beat us well enough in the league last year, was our first game, but you know, we know the kind of the type of players they have, and you know, they've had two very tough games in their group stage. You know, I think they've beat Tip and Mine just by a point, so they'll be coming into that match after two very big battles. But you know, we had, like, the Kerry game and the Cavan game are both very tough. And I suppose we have a few weeks now. We obviously have the Cork girls involved the weekend before. But we'll just show up a farewell now over the next couple of weeks, and our full focus will be on the Galway game. So hopefully it'll go well for us.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Clare take on Meath in this weekend's TG Carr All-Ireland Intermediate Football Semi-Final. I spoke to captain of the Banner County, Elio O'Gorman, ahead of one of the most important matches in Clare ladies football's recent history, and asked her about the growth of the game in her county.
Okay, it's a big weekend for the Clare ladies football team because they take part in the All-Ireland Intermediate Semi-Final against Meath on Saturday in O'Moore Park. It has been a tough path to get there, but Clare have reached there. It's a fantastic achievement and they'll be hoping to go one better. Delighted to be joined on the podcast by the captain, Elio O'Gorman. Elio, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Derek. Thanks, man.
It's been quite the year for ladies football, for all sports with COVID, obviously. But for Clare, to reach an All-Ireland Intermediate semi-final is some going, and you must be delighted with your progress.
Yeah, we're fantastic. We're delighted. It's fantastic that we're playing next Saturday in an All-Ireland semi-final, as you said. Like the totally unexpected, I think 2020 has just shown how everything has been thrown up in the air like that. We had three group games. I think the pundits kind of named our group an intermediate as the group of death. And like you can see that it came down to the final minutes of the last group game to see who would come out on top. So like that, it could say it was unexpected, but we're delighted to be there on Saturday.
Yes, you mentioned your group and group four of the Intermediate Championship this year. You finished top on 6 points alongside Kildare on 6 points, alongside Laois on 6 points and ahead of Sligo. But your scoring difference of plus 44 is what got you there in the end. That final day against Sligo, you put up some score, 7-18, but you had to, Ellie.
Yeah, we had to. We knew that before the game that the minimum we had to win by was 20 points to give us some chance if Laois did go on to beat Kildare. So before the game, I suppose we knew that going out in our heads that we had to put up a massive score and obviously keep Sligo's score as low as possible. But like that, like it was so competitive in that group. Three teams finishing on 6 points and having to come down to score different. Like you couldn't write it really. And I think it just goes to show the competition is so healthy and so competitive in the intermediate championship this year.
It certainly is. You played National League Division 2 this year pre-COVID. Things didn't go too well, but you didn't actually pick up a victory at that point. But you're up against some pretty heavy hitters, opposition, Kerry, Cavan, the likes of Monaghan, Armagh in there as well. How much did you take from that National League campaign, as difficult and all as it was? Because it looks like you've really improved since then in the Intermediate Championship.
Yeah, like Division 2 is extremely competitive. Like I think there are three intermediate teams and five senior teams. So that gives us a good base, I think, going into championship football. Like that, you said, we played five senior teams. I think we got the 1 point from the drawn game against Meath. But I think playing at that level really brings on girls and just shows the intensity, would say, of playing those senior teams. So that really helps us, I think, going forward. But as you said, we got 1 point Need. I think at the first half of that game, we were actually down by 5 or 6 points, so we were lucky to bring it back. And like we didn't get to finish out the competition, it was left. But all in all, if you take style of football and see where your path, new girls have come in and trying to sort out a style of play, maybe. But the league is definitely a fantastic competition, and it really. I suppose it's a reward for all your hard work during pre-season, and it's a showcase for the girls who have trained so hard through those months to get the opportunity to play against those senior teams.
Indeed, you mentioned Meath there as well, because they're in that division with you. Now, they've come through Group 3 with back-to-back wins over Down and Leitrim. You've already met, as you said, this year, so you have an idea of what you're up against, but you're going in as underdogs, I would imagine, Ellie. I think that's fair, considering the two Meath record. But having said that, the confidence that you seem to have gained and a bit of momentum and impetus that's with Clare ladies football at the moment, you've every chance. This is a one-off. It's a semi-final and it's an opportunity to get to an All-Ireland final. So as tough as opposition as Meath are, the prize at the end of the day is something I would imagine that's inspiring the dressing room.
Both teams know that like there's a place up to play in Croke Park up for grabs. So or 5 years, and I think it's all good. It's always been nip and tuck in those games. It's always been a point or two either way. And that goes to show again from the league this year. We had a drawn game, so we know what neither about. Like, they're a fantastic team. They haven't been in the last two All-Ireland finals for no reason. So, like, they'll have their homework done, and, like, we'll have our homework done. Like, we know that they bring a massive... they like to run the ball, like, they're young and a fit team, and, like, that they'll want to avenge last year's defeat in Croke Park. So they'll really be wanting to get back there to Croke Park. But look, at the semi-final, both teams, I suppose, haven't played each other since March. We'd like to think that we've gathered a bit of momentum, as we said there, and that things are going well in our camp. So we'll be focusing on ourselves and trying to stick to our game plan and see the game plays out on Saturday.
Indeed. And just finally, Ellie, the coverage of Clare Ladies Football has increased an awful lot this year, both in print and certainly online. You've got a lot of people covering it through social media, through your Facebook account. And I imagine the live coverage of your matches through the Ladies Gaelic Football Association's Facebook page as well has opened a lot of eyes and brought a lot of new supporters, possibly watching Clare Ladies Football for the first time. But it looks like you have that momentum on the pitch, but quite a bit of coverage off it as well.
Yeah, it's excellent this year. I think that the LGFA have covered all games from junior up to senior. Great that the girls playing LGFA get the chance to showcase their skills, I suppose. And I think the game has come on a lot in the last two or three years with regards to the pace and the skills of the game. So it's fantastic that we're getting that coverage. And then I suppose within the Clare camp, there's been a lot of promotion to an Amy and Shane Oregon on the social media. But like that, at the beginning of the year, like, we had fantastic sponsors come on board. I think we had 20 sponsors who entered a draw, €500 draw, and then one sponsor picked out, and that was Bio. But, like, sponsors all around Clare and outside of Clare have been extremely, extremely generous, and that just goes to show that the support that we're having inside Clare and outside Clare, and that does have an effect on girls. I think they like to see that, look, we're being appreciated, that we're the role models in the county, to be the ambassadors that we are. And, like, it's all thanks to the two men that I mentioned earlier, that they're great coverage and promoting, I suppose, the ladies' game, in especially the year that is 2020.
Indeed. So look, on behalf of everybody at the Big Red Bench and the Ladies Football Podcast, we wish you all the best. It's a tough ask at the weekend against Meath, but you've nothing to lose. The very best of luck to you, Ellie, and the Clare team in the All-Ireland semi-final against Meath.
Thanks for having me.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Clonakilty LGFA's Alana Crowley and her teammates are taking part in an important fundraiser in aid of Marymount Hospice on Saturday, November 28th. People are invited to walk, jog or run a distance goal of 5 kilometres, 10 kilometres, a half or full marathon distance within their 5 kilometre radius in accordance with government guidelines. Anyone interested in getting involved is asked to sign up via an Eventbrite page and make a donation, with all proceeds going directly to Marymount Hospice. Go to eventbrite.ie, that's eventbrite.ie, and search for Virtual Race in Aid of Marymount.
We are organising a virtual race, so it is a 5K, a 10K, half marathon or a full marathon, all within people's 5 kilometre radius, so in accordance with the government guidelines. And basically what it is people sign up to the event and you just run your distance, and all the proceeds of your tickets go directly to Marymount.
So I know, because I entered myself, there's no waterfront marathon or half marathon this year. Is this instead of it and on the same weekend that it would have been on?
So I'm the same as you now. I also signed up to do the half marathon for this weekend, or for, you know, the Clonakilty one. Mm. But since it was cancelled, and, you know, when you're something in your head, so we said we'd do a run that weekend anyway, because over the last 2 years on the Clonakilty waterfront marathon, my family has been raising money for Marymount that weekend anyway. So as well as doing the race, we always put up our own GoFundMe and we would raise money for those, the run on the same day, you know. So this year, because the race wasn't happening, we were like, oh no, we'll do a run that day anyway. Mm. And then that transpired to, oh, we'll organise an event that day. And then all of a sudden now it's a virtual race that we've created in aid of Marymount. So
Marymount is obviously a hugely important organisation and facility, but for yourself, from a personal reason, it also is.
Yeah. My mom died there 2 years ago of cancer, so she used the facilities for a while, and it was just, the people up there are so lovely, you know, they are really supportive and they just provide the highest quality of care for people. So
I suppose everyone in Cork knows somebody who's availed of the services, so we just thought it was really important to give back, I suppose, and support them. I know as well that they need a lot of the money that they use on a yearly basis. Is most of it is, you know, fundraised and charity. So all these charity events, you know, every little helps for them. So it's really important. And as well as my mom, my best friend Evie, we're organising this in aid of her uncle as well. So her uncle Michael died in this summer, and he was age 53, and he was battling with cancer on and off for about 5 years. So he also availed of the Marymount services. So the two of us decided this year, you know, because the last 2 years, I suppose we were raising it for my mom, but obviously this year affected her family too. So she was like, oh, would you mind if we did it for both of them? So that's kind of how it became in memory of Alice and of Mike.
As well as that, and it's a lovely thing to do, and it's an important thing to do to raise money. Is there a GoFundMe page for this year's event, and how can people contribute?
So there's actually not a GoFundMe page, but what the great thing about Eventbrite is that when you click the link for tickets, there's an option instead of buying a ticket to donate. So you can donate any amount of money through that same link. And what we've done is we've put Marymount's fundraising bank account as the main bank account of the Eventbrite. So all the money that goes into the Eventbrite goes directly to Marymount. So if people wanted to donate instead of actually taking part in the run or the walk, you just click the same link, tickets, and you scroll down to where it says donation, and you can enter your amount there.
The Clonakilty Ladies football team have had a tremendous year, and it is going to continue hopefully in January with the Munster Championship. They're helping as well. Are you part of that?
I am, yeah. So I was on the panel for their county final, and we're hopefully going to have a successful continuation now in January. But so I put it into a group chat. 3rd November is saying, you know, it was a great way to keep the fitness going, and we've got a great team and a team bond, I suppose. So it was really, you know, okay, we'll do this together, you know, we'll all train for it, and it's all for a great cause. So
I hope JJ and co are involved as well, that they'll be running. Yes,
I hope so too. Yeah, and Ian from Absolute Fitness in the rugby club, he was our, I suppose, strength and conditioning coach for the year. So he very kindly put in a training plan for us at 3rd November to help us with this run as well.
Excellent stuff. So look, it's a very important occasion. Clan Ladies are fully behind it. You'll be hoping that, would you like people as well that they would use social media to show what they've done on the day?
Exactly, yeah. So there's two things that we'd love people to do on the day is, number one, like wear something orange. So we had gotten on to Walsh Printers in Clonakilty, so they were doing orange t-shirts first, but I don't know, it's probably too late now to get more for the day, but if other people can just wear something orange on the day. And also we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, and we're on Facebook. So Virtual Race for Marymount is the name of our Instagram and our Facebook pages, and if people just tagged us, and we'll be happy to share, and we'd love to put together something at the end of it, you know, just as a kind of, I suppose. Yeah, and as well, like, what we're hoping to do is that, you know, this year we just did it because we'd nothing else, but we'd like to, I think, continue on every year, you know, doing a race of some sort in aid of Marymount, because we're after generating over 6,500 so far.
Wow.
For Marymount, this is brilliant.
And that's it for another Big Red Bench Ladies Football Podcast. Remember to subscribe to the Big Red Bench on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can also listen online at redextra.ie. Don't forget to tune in to the Big Red Bench with Rory O'Hagan, Cullum O'Sullivan, Valerie Wheeler and guests between 6 and 7 p.m. on the radio every Saturday and Sunday. Follow the Big Red Bench across all our social media channels, as well as visiting our official website, redfm.ie.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.